text for this evening, 2 Kings chapter number 1. It's been several weeks since our last study in the life of Elijah, and I want to catch you up to speed a little bit before we get into the message this evening. In our last study, we learned from 2 Kings 1, looking at verses 1 through 8, we learned how Elijah had intercepted the messengers of King Ahaziah, and he told them to deliver this message to the king. The king would not recover from this, his illness, but he would die. And of course, King Ahaziah was surprised at the soon return of his messengers. He had anticipated that it would take them longer. Remember, it was King Ahaziah who sent his messengers to go and inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. And God had given Elijah direction to go and to meet the messengers in the way, and he delivered that message, and Ahaziah was not too delighted to receive the message. Of course, as he was surprised at the soon return of his messengers, he began to inquire of what manner of man it was that gave him this message. And as these messengers began to give a description of the man who met them along the way, he did not tell them his name was Elijah, and they did not tell King Ahaziah that it was Elijah. But as Ahaziah heard the description, he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." Now, as we understand in verse number 8 that King Ahaziah recognized, he realized who it was that had given this message, a message that he would not recover but that he would surely die, he's now in a position, King Ahaziah is, where he is going to now seek to get Elijah to come to where he is. Now, we have to remember who this King Ahaziah is. He is the son of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. We understand the wickedness of Ahab and Jezebel. We've studied, as we've looked at the life of Elijah, we've studied and we've learned much about Ahab and Jezebel. And as we've learned much about Ahab and Jezebel, we concluded that Jezebel had a deep hatred for Elijah. Amen? Jezebel desired that Elijah would be killed. In fact, we find after the great events that took place in 1 Kings 18 with the fire that came from heaven there at Mount Carmel and all that took place, that Jezebel in chapter 19 made that declaration that she would make Elijah as one of those false prophets. In other words, he would die. She would have him put to death. And we find that Elijah had been protected miraculously, supernaturally by God. But now, this man Ahaziah is desiring, the king of Israel, this wicked man, is desiring now that Elijah would be brought into his presence. We have this sad description. You're in 2 Kings 1, maybe a page or two back at the end of 1 Kings. In chapter 22, verses 52 and 53, God gives us a sad description of King Ahaziah. And here's what God tells us about this man, King Ahaziah, in 1 Kings 22 and verses 52 and 53. It says this, "And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, Ahab, and in the way of his mother, Jezebel, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin." Now you recall in our very first study, in the life of Elijah in 1 Kings 17, that we looked at the situations of what was going on in Israel during that time. And Jeroboam was mentioned at the end of 1 Kings 16 because he introduced all of that false idol worship into Israel at the time of the divided kingdom. And so we find here in verse 52 that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He followed the example of his wicked father, his wicked mother, and wicked Jeroboam. And it tells us that he served Baal in verse number 53, he worshipped him and he provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel according to all that his father had done. And now he wants Elijah to be brought into his presence. Elijah had given that message. He intercepted those messengers and said, "Go back to your master, go back to the king of Israel and tell him, say unto him, is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?" Now therefore, thus saith the Lord, verse 4 of 2 Kings 1, thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And Elijah departed. As we look at our text of Scripture this evening, beginning in verse number 9 and going down through verse number 18, I've titled the message, "The Fire of God Consumed Them." The fire of God consumed them. Let's take a look at the passage of Scripture. Beginning in verse number 9, the Bible says, "Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill, and he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down." Verse 10, "And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. There came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. We'll get further into the text of Scripture as we study the passage this evening. But I want you to notice, first of all, if you're taking notes tonight, notice first the demonstration of God's power. I'm thankful this evening that our God is omnipotent, that He has all power. I'm thankful this evening that God didn't simply declare in His Word that He has all power. He declared it and He also demonstrated it. I'm thankful that we can go to various accounts in the Word of God and we can see where He, God, declares to His people that He has all power. But it's what a wonderful blessing when we see God demonstrate His power, when we see His power displayed. When you think about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as He walked upon this earth during His earthly ministry, and you think about the miracles of Christ, and you think about the many ways in which Jesus demonstrated His power over disease and over the demons and over distance, and we find that He demonstrated His power over all of those things. Why? Because He is the Lord God Almighty. And here we find the demonstration of God's power. We read verses 9 and 10, and here's what the king does. King Ahaziah says, I want Elijah to come into my presence. And he gets this captain, along with the 50 men that he was responsible for, and he sends them on a mission. He tells them to go to a place and to find Elijah and to bring Elijah to the king. We find that the Bible tells us in verse number 9 that they came and they found Elijah, and he was sat on top of an hill. Notice what this captain says to Elijah. He says this, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. But the King of Kings had not said to come down. Amen? The king, the earthly king, Ahaziah, he issues this command to Elijah, come down. But the greater command is from the Lord God Almighty, the King of Kings, and God had not yet given him permission to go to the king. Why? Because God's going to demonstrate His power. It's not time for Elijah to stand before Ahaziah just quite yet. And we find that Elijah answers, it's really an interesting passage of Scripture. It's a passage of Scripture in which we could look at and find some humor, if you will, as you look at the response of Elijah. Elijah says to the captain of 50, he says, If I be a man of God. See, we find that he says to him, Thou man of God, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. Now, in the moment of time, I'm not sure how long passed. I don't think a lengthy period of time passed between Elijah making that statement and the fire coming from heaven. But however long it was, can you imagine the thoughts that would run through the mind of this individual, this captain that came at the direction of King Ahaziah to come into the presence of Elijah, to bring Elijah into the presence of the king, and he says, come down, and Elijah says, if I be a man of God, let fire come from heaven and devour you. What would go through your mind at that moment? You'd be a little concerned, wouldn't you? And again, I don't think it was a very long period of time, but you know how sometimes there's something that kind of flashes in front of you and it seems like 1,000 thoughts go through your mind, time almost stands still for just a moment. I think this captain, as he hears these words from Elijah, I believe that fear probably crippled his heart. And the Bible tells us that there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. This was not done in a manner in which it was not known to those that were there or that were around. For we find that in verse number 11, it says, Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. So King Ahaziah obviously understood that his first captain and those 50 men were not successful. In fact, they were consumed, and therefore he gathers another man, another captain, and his 50 to go get Elijah. The Bible tells us in verse number 11 that he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, come down quickly. So the first messenger, or the first captain, he says, come down. The second captain says, come down quickly. And we find that Elijah answers in like manner as he did to the first captain. He says, Elijah answered and said unto them, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. The fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. We see that in these few verses of Scripture that God would demonstrate his power, the demonstration of God's power. We also find in these few verses of Scripture the way in which our God is able to protect his servants. And I'm thankful for the divine protection of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that that safety is of the Lord, and I'm thankful for that truth. And we often pray for safety, and we take certain precautions and do things so that we could ensure safety. But we understand this evening that safety is of the Lord. And God had Elijah in this place, and the Lord God Omnipotent not only demonstrated his power, but he protected his servant. I'm so thankful that God is able to do that. I'm thankful that God is our helper. We studied that last year. We spent several weeks on Wednesday evening dealing with the subject that the Lord is my helper. And I'm so thankful this evening that the Lord is my helper. And here, the Lord helped Elijah. He supernaturally protected Elijah during this time. We find that as we move into the text of Scripture, not only do we see, first of all, the demonstration of God's power, I want you to notice number two with me this evening, the desperate plea for mercy. In verses 13 through 15, we find recorded for us the desperate plea of mercy from the third captain that would be sent from King Ahaziah. King Ahaziah knows that he sent that first captain and his 50, they were consumed by fire. The second captain and his 50, they're consumed by fire. Elijah is still not in the presence of King Ahaziah. But King Ahaziah desires that Elijah would be brought into his presence, and therefore we find that this third captain is sent. As we look at the desperate plea for mercy, that this captain comes, and as he approaches Elijah, we find that his humility is revealed. The Bible says in verse number 13, and he, speaking of King Ahaziah, sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50, and the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven. He was aware of what had taken place. Amen? And it impacted him. He said, and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. We see in this desperate plea for mercy, we see the humility of this third captain. He's an unnamed individual, but we find that he comes, and he does not come with that same perspective as those first two captains. He does not come and say, come down quickly. He comes and he pleads for mercy. He comes before Elijah. He understands that Elijah is a man of God, and he says, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in thy sight. See, I think that the events that had taken place impacted this man. Now, let me ask you, would they not have had an impact upon you? I'm not sure what was going on with that second guy. He is a slow learner. Sometimes we can be slow learners, right? Sometimes I'm a slow learner. I pray that God would help me to be a fast learner. I hope that as we look at the text of Scripture that we'd see the approach of this third man and we'd see his humility. He understands that apart from the mercy and grace of God, he too will be consumed with fire. Right? It's already happened to the last 102 guys. And he pleads. We find that this plea for mercy is received, and God provides direction from to Elijah, and we find that the obedience of Elijah is recorded as he, that captain, concludes his appeal and his desperate plea for mercy. We find that the Bible tells us in verse number 15, "And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah," notice, "go down with him." The first captain said, "Come down." The king said, "Come down." The second captain said, "The king said, come down quickly." But now Elijah receives the direction from the Lord, the King of Kings. The angel of the Lord comes to Elijah and says, "Go down with him. Be not afraid of him." And he arose and went down with him unto the king. Isn't that interesting? To just see the immediate obedience of Elijah when he received the direction from the Lord. See, this evening we need to be sensitive to the direction of God. We need to be so in tune with the Word of God and in the Scriptures. I was sharing with one of our missionaries just yesterday, actually, as I was corresponding with them, and they were dealing with some challenges and some difficulties and just seeking the will of the Lord. And I shared with them this verse of Scripture. You don't need to turn there, I'll read it to you. But in Psalm 27 and verse number 11, the Bible says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Oh, throughout the Psalms, you find over and over how that the psalmist would pray and ask the Lord for direction and guidance. And we find that in Psalm 32 and verse number 8, it says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." And as we consider this evening the direction that was given to Elijah and his immediate obedience, I mean, I don't think there was anything that could happen that would cause Elijah to remove himself from the hill where he was while the king kept sending those captains of 50s. But when the Spirit of God gave the direction through the angel of the Lord that we find here recorded for us in verse number 15, Elijah, he arose immediately and he went down with him to the king. Now, as we consider the demonstration of God's people and the desperate plea for mercy, we are confronted with the obedience of Elijah and how important it is that we'd be obedient. We've been studying the life of Elijah. This is our 13th lesson on the life of Elijah. And something that's interesting, that's a recurring theme in the life of Elijah, is his obedience. Someone said this, that partial obedience is disobedience. Someone said that that yes, not only partial obedience, but delayed obedience is disobedience. But this evening, as we think about the life of Elijah, and one of the great examples of this man's life was his immediate obedience to the command of the Lord. See, sometimes we hesitate in our obedience because we're not sure of all that's going to happen. How's it all going to work out? But when we understand the direction is coming from the Lord God Almighty, and we've stood in His presence, we don't have to bother ourselves with all of the details. We just have to know that God's in control. And we obey Him. By faith, right? The just shall live by faith. Throughout the Scriptures, we understand that truth, and we read, and we'll be studying this year through the book of Hebrews, and what a powerful passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter number 11, that Hall of Faith chapter. But it's interesting, if you look at the bookends of chapter number 11, and I understand that the chapters and verses were inserted later, but if you look at that as a book, a letter that was written, if you look, go back and study. We'll study it near the end of the year, but go back and look at the last few verses of chapter 10 in the first few verses of chapter 12, and you look at those bookends to chapter number 11, it'll encourage your heart. Why? Because we're to live by faith. Those people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, those heroes of the faith, they were given direction from God and they stepped out in obedience by faith. And this evening, as we've studied the life of Elijah for all of these weeks, we find that God says, go appear before before Ahab, and he goes. He tells him, go to the brook Cherith, and he goes. He tells him, go to Zarephath, and he goes. He tells him, go to appear before Ahab, and he goes. And you just follow the life of Elijah, and he's obedient to God at every step of the way. And once again, near the end of his life, chapter 2, we'll begin to read how that Elijah would be taken up into heaven by the whirlwind. And we read all of that in chapter number 2, and we see the end of his earthly ministry. Elijah here is at the end of his earthly ministry, but he's still obeying God immediately. God says, go with him. It's okay. Don't be afraid. And we find that Elijah goes. Number 3, if you're taking notes this evening, notice the death of Ahaziah. In verses 16 through 18, we find recorded for us the encounter that Elijah would have with King Ahaziah. King Ahaziah desired that Elijah would be brought into his presence. We find that in verse number 16, as soon as Elijah appears in the presence of King Ahaziah, it says that, and he said unto him, notice, now, go back with me in your mind as we've studied the life of Elijah. When he would appear before Ahab, who did the talking? Elijah, right? I mean, in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, when he's telling Ahab about getting the prophets ready and going up to Carmel and doing all that, Elijah's the one doing all the talking. He's the one giving all the direction. Here, we find that the Bible tells us the way in which the account reads is that he said unto him, thus saith the Lord. Elijah gets into the presence of King Ahaziah, and here Elijah is going to speak to King Ahaziah, and he's going to give him the word of the Lord. Notice what he says, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, thou shalt not come down off that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. You know, it's the same message. Nothing changed. The message that Elijah had delivered to those messengers that he had intercepted back in the beginning of this chapter in 2 Kings 1, when King Ahaziah said, go inquire of Beelzebub and find out if I'm going to recover. And Elijah intercepted those messengers and gave them that message. Here, when Elijah stands before King Ahaziah, he gives them the same exact message. He tells them, is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? See, the nation of Israel had gone into deep idolatry, the idol worship. The nation of Israel, you can read it throughout their history, but certainly during this particular time, we find that under the leadership of Ahaziah's parents, Ahab and Jezebel, the height of idolatry that came into the land. But yet, we find that here in these days, there was a prophet of God, Elijah. We understand that at the end of 1 Kings in chapter number 22, when Ahab dies in battle, he's going to make an agreement with Jehoshaphat to go into battle. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. It was a bad decision on Jehoshaphat's part, another message entirely. But we find that they're going to go into battle together. And before they do, Jehoshaphat says, let's inquire of the prophets. And Ahab brings his wicked prophets, and what does Jehoshaphat say? Is there not a prophet of the Lord? What does Ahab say? Yeah, there's one. What's his name? Miss Joyce, you just said it. Micaiah, right? But he didn't like him. Why? Because Micaiah always prophesies bad about me. Maybe it's because you're wicked, right? Because Ahab had that tendency in his life. When he saw Elijah, he said to Elijah, art thou he that troubleth Israel? No, you and your father's house, because of your wickedness, because of your idolatry. And we find here that Ahab, he knew about a prophet of God, but he would not inquire of the prophet of God. Ahaziah, in chapter number 1 of 2 Kings, when he finds out that his messengers come back sooner than he expected, and when he inquires as to the description of the man, he says it is Elijah the Tishbite. He was aware that there was a prophet of God in Israel, but he rejected God and rejected his man. We find here that Elijah goes straight to the heart of the matter, and he tells him that you sent your messengers to inquire of this false god, this idol. Why? Is it not because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? And he gives them that message. He delivers the same message that he delivered in verses 3 and 4, as we looked at earlier this evening. We find that Ahaziah dies just as Elijah prophesied. In verse number 17, it says, "So he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And Jehoram reigned in his stead, in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, because he had no son." There's a little confusion maybe that could enter at this time. There is a Jehoram that's now going to reign in Israel, but there's also a Jehoram that's reigning in Judah. They have the same name, two different people. We find here that in verse number 17, the Bible tells us that Jehoram reigned in his stead. This is not his son, but it's his brother that would reign in his stead because of his untimely death, because of his wickedness, because of the fact that he would not heal from this fall that we noticed that took place in verse number 2 of chapter 1 when he fell through a lattice in his upper chamber. And we find here that this man, Ahaziah, dies according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. It tells us in verse number 18, "Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, they're not written in the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel, in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel." As we look at the passage of Scripture and we think about the life of Elijah, we see the account of what's taken place. And we're reminded this evening about some takeaways from the life of Elijah. We must always remember that our God has all power. He's the Lord God omnipotent. He can do all things. And I'm thankful for that this evening. There's nothing too hard for our God. There are people, sometimes we live as if our God's not able. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible tells us that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I don't know about you, but that's a great promise from the Word of God. We find that our God is able to protect. We just trust Him. Trust His divine protection. It's a vain thing to put your confidence in man or princes. But oh, when we put our confidence in the Lord God Almighty, and understand that He is able. And can I tell you this evening, when God says go, we better go. We don't have to worry about, well, what's going to happen? No. When we have an understanding of who is giving the orders, it changes everything, right? And that's why it's so imperative that we as God's people have a proper understanding of who God is. Because when I have a proper understanding of who God is, when God says go, it's not for me to reason why and all that. It's not for me to try to figure it. No, I know who God is. I know what He's capable of doing. I know what He's already done in my life. And therefore, when the angel of the Lord says to Elijah, go, Elijah goes. That immediate obedience. Oh, that would be evident in the lives of believers today in 2020. That we would have that same level of obedience when God moves, when God speaks, when the Holy Spirit of God pricks your heart and convinces you of telling somebody about Jesus, giving something to somebody, whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit, and just, we don't have to, well, they're not really, oh, how are we going to? No, God is God, and we just obey, and we see how He is able to work. Our God is able to do amazing things. And here in this passage of Scripture, we see, as we titled the message this evening, "The Fire of God Consumed Them." I'm not suggesting this evening that we need to pray for fire to come from heaven, but what I'm convinced of, and I'd like to convince you of, is that our God is able. As we study the life of Elijah, we see time and time again of how God protected His servant, how God displayed His power, and how God provided that direction. What a blessing. As we've studied the life of Elijah, next week we'll finish up as we get into chapter number 2, and we'll look at some things also in the New Testament from the life of Elijah, which are exciting. And so we have a couple of more weeks studying the life of Elijah before we get into the study in the life of Elisha. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We do thank you for loving us. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to gather together this evening. We thank you for your word and for the truth that's contained therein. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Help us, Father, to follow you and obey you. Help us to have that immediate obedience evidenced in our lives. We thank you that you are the Lord God omnipotent, that you have all power. We thank you that you're able to protect us no matter what the circumstances are. We pray that you would bless our time of prayer. We do thank you for the privilege of prayer. We pray that you be glorified, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does anyone need a prayer bulletin this evening? Perfect.